1 hour of hockey talk to kick off your afternoon. This is Hockey Central at Noon, only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Game day last night, game day tonight, as Calgary Flames Radio is right back at it. Split squad game last night, neither the result the Flames fans were looking for, although I thought we saw some cool stuff at the Dome last night. Some interesting storylines, some stuff that, could be expected. And now it's off to Winnipeg as the Flames have taken some guys to MTS Center and find out what's going on. So it will be a busy one. We'll start at 5 with Flames warm-up. Pat Steinberg starting that, of course, with the Central Time Zone play-by-play goes at 6 o'clock. And, of course, every game all season right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And to get us caught up on what happened last night, what's happening this morning, give me some Lou.
Flames insider Peter Lombardi is brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style, your home renovations should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Follow them on Facebook.
Before we start with Peter Lombardi, I want to take you back to last night, the Hot Stove Lounge. Now, if you were busy watching the Jays act like the Charlestown Chiefs, or maybe you're watching the debates or Monday Night Football, you missed the game. Okay, we'll excuse it this time. Always good stuff, especially when Marty Jelinek comes in. Yesterday on the show, on this very segment, I was asking Peter Labardius about the differences between Bob Hartley and Coach Gullison and the system. And basically, Luke kind of talked about it yesterday, and he brought it up again last night. And here's that clip, and interesting to hear Marty's reaction. And, it turns out it's not Lou's first rodeo. Let's hear that clip.
The one thing that I saw the last 3 days is with your defense, it looks like, the old system seems like you wanted to keep people outside the dots. Now it looks like you're trying to, pressure and take pucks away sooner. A, is that right? And B, with that, how much more emphasis does it put on your forwards to be pretty good at backtracking?
You know what? Tracking is a big part of it this year, but you're completely right. Last year, we want to absorb the rush. We want to keep everything on the outside and really boxed out. Now we want to slide. We want to cut everything at it starts at the offensive blue line. We want to keep pucks in, but if we can, our Ds are going to slide hard and try to prevent them from getting into our zone. And once you let them enter, and I think that's what happened last year, you let them enter the zone, eventually things going to happen that you don't like.
There's an example right there. And Peter Labardius, you illustrated it yesterday, brought it up again, and Marty was bang on with you. Good observation. I wanted to kind of start the show off with that because people were kind of wondering, what are we going to see? What's the difference between the two coaches? And we got a really good illustration yesterday during the Hot Stove Lounge.
Yeah, we most certainly did. And it also was evident last night at times through the course of the game that, simple changes are not that easy in terms of your system, and when you're doing things differently. And I even chatted briefly today, and you'll hear from him on our coaches show with a newcomer on the staff, Paul Girard, that it's time and it's a process and it's very different. But again, to repeat what we said yesterday, because I think it's worth repeating, sometimes, Kelly, the misnomer about puck possession is what you do when you have it. Well, it's not just about that. It's equally as important to have it more. You want to attack the people who have it to take it away from them as fast as you can. And, in many ways, that's the style that I felt that the Pittsburgh Penguins played last year that gave them great success. They defended fast. And that, with the Flames' ability with their defense and their speedy players up front, I think, in many ways they're trying to employ that type of system.
Let's talk about two guys that everyone seemed to be buzzing about. Sam Bennett plays over 20 minutes last night. He looks stronger to me, watching from the press box. Obviously, they lose the game. He doesn't get on the score sheet. But let's talk about Sam Bennett first and what you saw from him.
Well, I thought he was clearly the best player in the game, Kelly. No doubt about it for me, and Troy Brower would be right behind him. And for sure, you expect it. But It was funny. You know, I spent a couple of minutes yesterday after the morning skate with Sam, and there was just something different about his demeanor, something a little bit different about just his air and the confidence. And listen, he's always been a very determined, confident young man, but he is bigger and stronger. There's absolutely no doubt. And the one part of his game that I was so impressed with last night is we know, you know, what a bulldog he is and how fast he is and how tenacious and competitive he is. But from the center position, the one thing that I've watched him in the last couple of years is how do you see the game? How do you make plays? And he made two or three just fabulous plays. And unfortunately, one got called back. Brower in the second period as the Flames ended up in the crease. He was around the puck all night, and I was so impressed with his chemistry with Brower and his playmaking ability. And not to say that, you know, he hasn't always had that type of ability, but I guess, Kelly, you know, as succinct as I can be, I don't know if I've ever seen him look as comfortable with the puck at this level as I did last night.
And how would you assess his 200-foot game? When a center, if you're playing center and doing those things and the team's asking more of you, there is more to do. And how did you think he did in the whole thing?
Well, I think he did just fine. You know, the one area of concern for him, again, one of the reasons that, you know, outside of just becoming a man about getting bigger and stronger, is that extra strength really helps you against bigger, stronger centermen in the faceoff dot. But I thought he defended very, very well. He was very noticeable. And again, you know, part of this team's mantra, I probably didn't notice him defending a lot, Kelly, because guess what? When he and his line mates were on the ice, they had the puck a lot. You don't have to defend when you have it a lot. So, I think this is a young man who's really going to be one of the true leaders of this group going forward. And he showed me about as good a performance as I've seen, certainly since the playoffs a couple of years ago.
Peter Labardius is our guest on Hockey Central at noon. Lou, what did you think, your first impression of Matthew Tkachuk against NHL-caliber defensemen?
You know, it's a great question, Will. You know, there were some excellent moments. He was as feisty as normal, yet I thought, you know, more in control than he was at times during, you know, the Penticton tournament, the Young Stars event. Made a couple of beautiful plays that could have led to goals. I know he teed one up for Troy Brower late in the game in the third period, and Brower was stoned by Laurent Brossoit. A couple of things. It's always about this, Will, by and large, for young people at this level. You know, you have to get up to the pace of the game, and that's only going to increase as the preseason goes along. And then we know really a switch almost flips when October 12th comes along. So I thought he acquitted himself very well. He's a very smart, tenacious player, very good below the hash marks. Now it's again, you continue to learn a new system, you learn to defend. And as I chatted with Glenn Gullitson about, when you come out of junior and you're, you know, an elite player as he was in London, the shifts have to drop. You know, you really have to manage that part of the game, and the other part of it is, you know, your defense and your responsibilities that way. But for a first effort, I was impressed, and I knew I would be.
And I don't know if a lot of people should be surprised that he was, in fact, the guy who drew the five-minute spearing call at the end of the game.
No, he's a pretty good agitator, and I'm being very, very sarcastic. That's you know, and really, that's one of the things I love about him is he's just, he has a little of everything, and I don't really think the Flames have necessarily, you know, Bennett is an absolute bulldog, and this guy, you know, he's in your face, he's chatting at you all night, he draws penalties, he's no fun to play against, and he won't be the most loved player, I don't think, in the NHL, and guess who wants it that way? Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, absolutely. We only saw him for two periods, but Lou, I seem to believe that you were a big fan of what you saw from Brian Elliott last night.
Yeah, two words, rock solid. I thought he was in great position. After a giveaway 17 seconds into the game, made a really good save, got the feel of the puck, thought he was completely in control. And, you know, Will, you watch the game from the same vantage point as I do at home. I don't know about you, but there was just something that made you feel you know, just so much more comfortable watching the team defend. And I did. I thought he brought just a real calmness to the whole group. Granted, it's the preseason, but listen, I mean, this guy's been in the upper echelon of save percentage the last number of years for a reason. Yes, he's played on a terrific St. Louis team, but he's determined. I thought for his first game, he really couldn't have been any more in control or any better. That was Brian Elliott being Brian Elliott.
Well, last night on the post game, I think it's been a long time since we've had a coach say, yeah, I felt comfortable with our goaltending.
Yeah.
And that's what Marty said. He said, yeah. And I go, that's exactly what you want to hear, that you're okay with him. And he wasn't in there for very long, but you felt that, okay, he's got this. This is his gig.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, he just his play just allowed the whole group to be very confident, comfortable. He was just completely in control. And there's no doubt. Listen, this team, again, we'll talk about it many times going into the season, and hopefully not very much when the season starts, but, you know, dead last in save percentage. And if you have any hopes of making the playoffs, that is a number, and those are numbers that have to change. And I think we get a look at Chad Johnson. We do tonight in Winnipeg. He's really excited. I had a pretty good feeling that there would be a complete overhaul in the goaltending world with the Flames. There was, and even in watching Chad for 3 days, and we'll see how it goes tonight here in the Manitoba Capital, but there's no doubt in my mind, at least, that this team is very much upgraded in that area. And I don't want to take anything away from, you know, the likes of Hiller and Rommel and Ordeo, who had some great moments the last couple of years, but I just feel it's in way better shape right now.
Lou, we'll get to a couple of specifics in just a second, but I believe that the lineup tonight in Winnipeg is quite similar to the one that played last night in Edmonton, correct?
Within reason. You know, there's players like Weatherspoon, who played a ton last night. He played more than 23 minutes. Dougie Hamilton won't play. It's a lean group in terms of having a lot of veterans in it. Chad Johnson, intriguing, because he plays his first game as a Flame, and I'm sure that he will be busy. It's a very young blue line core. So, you know, again, a lot of returnees, but there's 7 or 8 changes, well, from what occurred in the game last night in Edmonton. And you knew that, you know, with people like Dougie Hamilton in the preseason this early, you're not going to be in a lot of back-to-backs. And on the other hand, you know, some players who didn't play last night in Edmonton, i.e. Lance Boma, you know, they make their way into the lineup. So there is some changes, and I would guess if there's 6 or 7 new faces, then that's pretty significant change from what happened last night at Rogers Place.
What are you watching for tonight, Lou? Who are you looking at?
Well, I heard great reports, chatted with Flames general manager Brad Treliving, and the two names, we won't see John Gillies, who was clearly the best player from all accounts last night, was brilliant if you talk to him or anybody else around the team. They were also very, very impressed with Mark Jankowski. And Will, you were even in Penticton to see the Flames in action there. I really like Mark's game,
yeah,
you know, through the young stars. He looks to me like, I don't know if it's going to be today or this season even, but this guy is a really intelligent player. He's big. He's strong. Glenn Gullitson told me during a conversation we had in Penticton that, you know, it's about him continuing to mature body-wise. He's got a great reach. He thinks the game very, very well. So I'm excited to see him in particular, you know, in a game that certainly has far more of an NHL regular season look to it.
Well, Lou, he played, what, over 17 minutes last night?
He did.
What's reasonable? Because I think he's kind of like that found money, because people kind of wrote him off, and he was the other regime and a first-round pick that people didn't think would pan out. Well, maybe he's a late bloomer. Maybe this is going to be workout after all. But, like, not getting too excited here, is it reasonable to think that he's got to spend maybe a full season in Stockton? Or is it he an up-and-down guy? Or does he start in Calgary? What do you think is reasonable? Early days, obviously. But
well, if I was a betting man, Kelly, I would suggest that he probably needs just, you know, he's only played 8 games of pro hockey, which he was very, very effective in Stockton after he finished at Providence and then signed his first, you know, professional deal. So I know that, you know, they're very, very high on him. They liked what they saw. My guess is just when you think about, you know, the Flames forward crew and even, you know, some people now in on PTOs, whether it be Lyndon Vey, who I understand played pretty well last night, Chris Higgins, you know, I might see him actually, you know, depending on how everything goes, as, you know, a first call-up type player, you know, an up-and-down guy who still probably needs some more time and seasoning in the American Hockey League. But, you know, the way I always evaluate players is when you look and you watch, are they going to play? And do you think they have a chance, you know, at some point to play on an everyday basis? And there's a long ways to go, and I'll have a better feel for it, you know, after the preseason is over. But at this point, from what I've seen in the last 10 or 11 days, I think at some point he's going to play.
We want to double back a little bit on the goaltending. We talked about Brian Elliott, but I didn't ask you about Mason McDonald, who let in the one goal, and it wasn't great. Where are we at with him? I mean, how many chances do you think? What's reasonable? Does he just got to go to Stockton and play, or is he too old to be an overager now? Or
no, he still has 1 year left where he could be an overager in the Quebec Major Junior League. If I was guessing, I think he may be headed for Adirondack in the East Coast Hockey League. And the East Coast Hockey League actually in recent years has a pretty decent track record of developing goalies. You know, I thought Mason was fabulous the year he got drafted. He was great at the World Under 18 Championship. And, you know, in many ways, and feel for him because he works his tail off. He's got great size. You know, there's a lot to work with, but you know, again, you know, he comes into the game last night and the lone puck that beats him goes in from behind the end line. And in every game, whether it's Penticton or last night that he's worn the Flames jersey, it just seems like, you know, there's one bad one in the net when he tends the 4x6. So, you know, I feel for him. And last night was interesting because he got a chance to play. It was Tyler Parsons' third period originally, but Tyler, you know, the London Night Star, was far too ill to perform. So, you know, he had a chance and thought he rebounded okay after giving up the bad one to Slapyshev, but it's hard to kind of take that bad one and the taste of it out of your mouth.
Before we let you go, we're going to talk to you. We got so much hockey going on these days. It's so busy. We've run out of radio stations to put play-by-play on, but we've got World Cup of Hockey starting.
Yeah, can you put another event on, boss, today?
we got a few things going on. So game one from Toronto, 6 o'clock over in 660 News. What do you think, game one? It shouldn't be close, but will it be?
I bet it's a little closer than people think. Everybody's completely written it off. Is there any doubt in my mind that Canada's going to win the series? No, not really. And I think it will happen in two straight games. But, you know, tonight I think will be interesting. Again, you know, the Europeans are in the casino with house money and a lot of it. If anyways, they've won a tournament already, you'd have to think in their own minds. And to me, it's all up to Team Canada. I mean, they're the best team, I think, by a considerable margin. They've shown it. They showed it against Europe during the tournament, as far as the round-robin portion is concerned. It probably shouldn't be close, but we'll see. You know, sometimes with Canadians, when they feel that the challenge isn't great, it can affect things. However, Kelly, with this very special group, and it's a special group, and I think we're going to really, really look back so fondly at what this group has done. It's been fabulous. One of the great runs in Canadian hockey history, in my personal opinion, at an international level. These guys, I don't know if they will take their foot off, and if they don't, it's probably two pretty dominant wins, which is all they've done so far.
No matter what Boomer says, I'm excited for it, and I don't care if he doesn't like it. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens. So, you know, whatever.
Well, here it is for me, and you know me. Okay, yeah. Other people sometimes get tired when Canada is dominant and it's not that hard. I'll say it. It's been quoted. It's on a liner. I love it when Canada crushes its opponents. I'm good with winning because losing stinks.
Absolutely. It's fantastic. Lou, one more. Coming up on Friday, it's the debut of Lou's Mailbag again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is the real one because we're set up
for real. Although I got some great feedback from some of my friends in Southern Saskatchewan, by the way.
So did I.
Who find it? I bet you did. Poor Trev Bell. Hope he didn't hear it. Anyway, we should have had a vote for Chuck Patchkowski.
Well,
that was going to be
my next question. But so here's the deal: you go to our website, go to contest, and it's just a form. You just enter it. And, you know, you can be as verbose as you want, but we have to read it on the air. And I think, I know, we have two pairs of tickets to give away. We'll have tickets for Friday night's game and the following. And these are, like, good seats, lower bowl seats.
Mm.
Right? So
awesome.
So ask Lou whatever you want. You know, you can get eclectic. You can just ask a normal question. It could be about Flames goaltending, whatever. We'll do that on Friday. Looking forward to that. And I should say, I mean, people are wondering, did you get to the airport with your new Shaw GMC vehicle? Everything's parked properly. Everything's good?
Everything's good. I will say this, though, in closing. The airport's a nervous place.
Yeah.
Because even today, driving with Derek was with me when we parked on our way here to Winnipeg. It just fits. It fits. There's enough clearance. But I'm kind of driving around looking for a parking spot, and okay, it's all good. I can breathe again.
a lot of nervous moments, Lou.
We better be careful because the people, Peter Kulagin, Curtis Folkett, and all the great people there at Chad GMC, and they're fabulous. If you're looking, you're in the market, they're on the Blackfoot. Fabulous spot. They'll treat you like royalty. You know, we don't want them to think that, you know, this isn't a good situation. It's a good situation. It's just, It's large, it's luxurious, and sometimes you get a little scared.
It makes you feel like you're alive, Lou, driving one of those bad boys, though, right?
Oh, hey, listen, if you feel like, okay, you bring it on. Oh, yeah, okay, you want to turn in front of me? You're going to get it.
Nice. We'll hear you on the broadcast starting at 5 o'clock from the MTS Center and talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks so much.
Okay, have a great one, you guys.
Flames Insider Peter Lombardi is brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style, your home renovations should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Follow them on Facebook.
It is Hockey Central at noon. Kelly Kirsch, Will Nault, that's Peter Labardius. And something going on in Toronto, like a press conference and this kind of stuff. We were going to take it live, but we thought it'd be kind of, well, some of it would be BS, and we weren't sure if it was going to be interesting enough, so we might just kind of tape delay that bad boy. So what are they kind of trying to find out here? They're just going to just...
So they're announcing plans because 2017 is the 100th anniversary of the NHL. So it's their centennial celebration, and they're making plans for the 2017 calendar year. It begins at the All-Star Game in Los Angeles at the end of January, and they just announced that Wayne Gretzky is the official ambassador of the NHL's 100-year celebration. So kind of a mending of fences, if you will.
You would think
Gretzky
at the beginning of that, they have a few fences to mend with that guy. I've never seen someone get,
So anyways, that's a good step in the right direction. The NHL making that announcement right now. Gary Bettman and Wayne Gretzky on stage in Toronto. And we'll see if we can't get you some of the details around the corner.
One of those guys was more popular than the other.
Mm.
Just saying. But that's cool. That's kind of neat they're doing that. And obviously, they got an audience right now with the World Cup of
Hockey. Also on NHL.com over the next couple of months, they're going to start to put out one by one the NHL's 100 greatest players of all time.
Really? Can we vote for that?
I believe it was done by some writers. I believe Eric DeHatchick had a vote.
Because if it was going to be a fan vote thing, you know what we're going to do?
What's that?
We'd start something for Rhett Warner.
Yeah.
Right? Like really get the writing campaign.
So you get him in the top 10?
Just like we did for our NHL pool. Just like that. If we could do that. Here's your chance. It is getting colder. We've got kind of something very Canadian, very Wayne Gretzky-like. A really nice outdoor rink in your backyard from Rinkwater. They are experts. They come with a complete system. It includes a drop-down liner, interlocking boards and brackets. It's all done in a couple hours. They do it, so you just kind of sit there and supervise. They are a company that makes building your own rink hassle-free. You can go on their website, tells you everything, all the specifications, rinkwater.com. If you'd like to enter, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your space, man, so we know what we're dealing with. And you can do that on the old website, sportsnet.ca/960. Hurry, chop, chop. October the 5th, which is next week, we shut her down and pick her winner. So doing that for rink water, and someone's going to get a rink, and we're going to broadcast from it. You're going to hear the skating in the background. It's going to be so Canadian, it's going to drive you nuts. All right, we'll do that coming up next week. But next, more Hockey Central at noon.
Thank you for making Sportsnet Canada's number one sports network. Hockey Central at noon continues only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Kelly Kirsch, Will Nault coming up at 1 o'clock. It's the big show for the Comedy Cave. The one and only Pat Steinberg taking over at 1 o'clock. I think he's going to be down at the Saddle Dome, right? They're just going to...
With the Dome or at Shanks? It's a game day.
No, it's a preseason game, so we don't go there to the regular season.
Oh.
See how that's going to work? We're even confused in here.
I'm very confused because Sean from Promotions texted me that he's set up at Shanks. So
Well, Sean is wasting his time right now.
I don't know what's happening.
Well, what's going on? Oh, well, so we'll get that figured out. But one thing I do know, Pat will be on the air at 1
o'clock. He will be. I just don't know where from.
That's the good news. Hey, coming up, speaking of Steinberg and stuff he likes, Hard Knocks 51 coming on Friday, October the 14th, out at Winsport. We've had a few of these here. Huge success, and they are a good time. Everyone seems to just really, really love it. Good stuff. Up-and-coming mixed martial arts guys from all over North America, and women too, obviously. Complete fight details at hardknocksfighting.com. Fan club members, we're always looking after you. How about this? You can enter to win VIP tickets, dinner, and a meet and greet with the fighters before the big card. How about that? Do that at sportsnet.ca/960. Winners will be chosen and contacted coming up on the 13th of October. Now, we're kind of making fun of it earlier with Gary Bettman, and, you know, he's the guy that always gets booed and stuff, but... Mm. We were listening in on the press conference, and actually it's pretty cool.
There's some cool stuff going on.
Because having Wayne Gretzky with them. Now, this is all, they're at 2017 marks the 100th anniversary of the National Hockey League. Now, there has been, I think it was Jonathan Gatehouse. During the lockout, I read a lot of books, and he wrote one about the history of the NHL. And yeah. It's really, really neat. So I think Steinberg actually has that book. I lent it to him and haven't got it
Stole
back.
It.
I don't think I'm getting it back. Anyway, but we wanted to play a little bit of stuff from there because they sort of, you know, kicked around different things. And it's they talk about the World Cup, and they also just kind of – it's one of those press conferences. It's not about CBA or any of that kind of crap. It's just about fun stuff that we like to talk about.
It's a bunch of hypothetical questions and kind of just picking Gretzky's brain, seeing where he thinks about the game right now. They started off talking. Actually, what we're going to play for you is kind of the future of the World Cup and maybe where they see it going forward. And Gretzky gave some pretty positive reviews and about Team Europe and then the group led by Ralph Kruger.
So question for Mr. Gretzky, Daniel Chenash from TV Marquise. You said something about Team Europe, but I want to ask you specifically about this biggest surprise of this World Cup. What do you think about this group of veterans? And also for Mr. Bettman, if he can say something about the future of World Cup.
Actually, being up here with you is great. I hardly have to answer any questions. We brought back the World Cup in a format that we thought could turn this back into the big event it should be after roughly 12 years off. It has fulfilling our hopes and expectations. And with the Players Association, who we do this together, we're going to plan future events, future World Cups on a regular basis, other international events, and I think you'll see a greater international presence, clinics, exhibition games, regular season games throughout the world, outside of North America, but never straying too far from our roots here in Canada and the United States. So we're pleased with how everything's gone, and we see more and more and more on the horizon.
I think that the coaching staff has done a great job with Team Europe. I think that's been a big positive for them. I think that as a team, they've played hard together. I'm a little biased because I know Anzi pretty well, and I see him a lot in L.A. I happen to think he's one of the top elite players in the game today, and maybe sometimes he gets overlooked a little bit, but I think he's showing now that he's one of the best two-way players in hockey. He's a big, strong man who plays hard each and every night. And I think with him and Chara playing at the level they're playing at, everybody else is kind of tagging along. and they've played very well. They've had a nice tournament.
Hi, Wayne. Thomas Lee from Ryerson Television. This being the 100th anniversary, as a fan or as a player being involved, what was your favorite NHL moment? And if you would like to chime in as well, Commissioner Bettman, your favorite NHL moment as well.
Well, I have so many that to narrow down. My first game, my first faceoff was in Chicago Stadium against Stan Mikita. And Stan Mikita was one of my dad's favorite players of all time, lifting the Stanley Cup the first time. Sitting at my first Maple Leaf game in 1967 with my grandmother in the last row of the Grays and thinking it was the greatest day of my life. So, listen, everything in my life is because of hockey and because of the National Hockey League. And every day was a dream.
Did you win the faceoff?
No, I was too nervous. I kept looking at them. I think they dropped the puck, and I didn't even know they had been dropped.
The moment or the moments that I think of every year when I get to present the Stanley Cup, it is an honor, it is a privilege, and it's awesome to be that close to the celebration, just to see the raw emotion and passion that the players have for the game, what they've been through, and their feeling of embracing the Stanley Cup. It is a sheer joy.
Oleg Koshelev, TASS News Agency, Russia. Question to Mr. Gretzky. As for you, what was the influence and the impact of Russian players in NHL history? And the second thing, what do you think, is Alex Ovechkin able to beat your goal record? Thank you.
Well, if he does, I'll be there to congratulate him. I happen to think the world of Alex, and he's been a tremendous player in our game, so I wish him nothing but the best of luck. All the way back to 72, Tretiak was probably the most influential Russian ever who impacted our sport and our game over here, because we didn't know the Russian players until 1972, so he had a huge impact. The younger generation probably looked to the guys like Larionov and Fedosov, those kind of great players. For us, we looked at guys like Vasiliev and Yakushev and Tretiak, who were our idols as kids growing up. So they've been a big influence in North American hockey, and we like to think that our guys have been a nice influence to Russian hockey also.
Wayne Davis, Dubs from the National Hockey League, NHL.com. If you had the keys to the Hall of Fame, and you could go in and just spend, say, 15 minutes at one exhibit, what would it be? And secondly, I want to ask you if you could relate the story about taking a whack across a thumb from Gordie Howe very early in your career.
Well, I'll address the Gordie Howe thing first. My first game playing against Gordie Howe was at WHA, and I was skating around in the warm-up, and Gordie kept winking at me. And I came into the locker room, and I said to my teammates, wow, Gordie Howe was winking at me. And they said, no, don't let him fool you. He blinks. He's got a bad blinking problem. I said, oh, okay, I didn't know that. Anyway, I took the puck from him, and next thing I know, I got this whack over the thumb, and he took the puck back, and he said, kid, don't ever take the puck from me. I said, okay, it'll never happen again. But the Hall of Fame is, listen, I went to tell the story a couple of years ago. I took my son, time was 11 or 12, and I had a hat on, and I went into the Hall of Fame, and I just told him, keep your head down. We walked around for 2 hours. We went down, saw everything there was to see, and we went down to the part where you could actually interact and take some shots. So my son got out there, and he was 4 for 5. And so he said, Dad, try it. So I said, okay, and I got out there, and I missed the first 3 shots I took. And the young man who was taking care of the line walked over to me and said, sir, if you move your hand down the stick a little bit farther. And I lifted my hat up, and I said, go get me one of those pucks that are in there. There's 802 up there. My son killed himself laughing, and I got out of there. But I love every part of the Hall of Fame. It's just, it's heaven to me. I love it there.
That's good stuff. Yeah, you might want to just try a little harder.
Just put your hand a little lower on the stick there, sir. You might be able to shoot one.
How cool would that be? Hey, yeah. Guy, put the old cap on and glasses.
Well, and how embarrassed is that kid feel after
oh,
that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry,
just trying
sir.
To be helpful, right? So,
just trying to be nice.
Good story. Good story. Good, good call for the NHL to get Wayne Gretzky.
So, yeah, again, if you missed it, Wayne Gretzky will be the official ambassador for the NHL's 100-year celebration, which happens all year, the calendar year of 2017. It begins with the Centennial Classic on New Year's Day. They're doing the Winter Classic on January 2nd this time around. Mm-hmm. So a couple events there. Gretzky will be alongside the NHL all year long. And then on the All-Star Game in Los Angeles, the end of January, the NHL will release their 100 greatest players of all time.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. And something special obviously happening up the road in Edmonton. the new arena, and by all accounts, it's something else. Rogers Place will, they're using it right now, but the big grand opening is going to be on October the 12th when the Flames and Oilers, Battle of Alberta, brand new rink, same old team, same old rivalry, always going to be kind of, and people want to see this. This is a piece of history, obviously, if you go back to when they opened up the Saddle Dome, and you just got to have the Oilers and Flames. So this is what we've done. We've hooked up with Driving Force to get you a chance. Driving Force Vehicle Rentals, Sales, and Leasing. Going to put one lucky fan club member behind the wheel, rent you a vehicle, zip you up Highway 2. You drive up there, you get there for the game, you get tickets to the game, you get a gas card for fuel and hotel for the night after. Now, come on, you got to get your entries in there October 6th. The boys will be drawing for it in the afternoon. You don't want to miss out. Driving Force Vehicle Rental, Sales, and Leasing, two locations in Calgary, corner of 23rd Avenue and Bartle Trail in the northeast, or 3660 50th Avenue southeast. You can always get them online at drivingforce.ca. Great to have those partners on board, getting us some tickets and that sort of thing. What do we know about Duhar? Are we going to get him?
We're having him up right now.
All right. We'll take a break and talk a little hockey with our NHL insider, Eric Tuhacek, from the Globe and Mail and globesports.com. Coming up on Hockey Central at noon.
Hockey Central at noon continues only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Without further ado, let's go down the South Street Burger guest hotline all the way out to beautiful Toronto, Ontario. It's Eric Tuhacek, our NHL insider from blueandmail.com and Globe Sports. Eric, kind of a special day. 100th anniversary of anything is very cool. The NHL really going to do it upright in 2017. You had just witnessed the press conference between Wayne Gretzky and Gary Bettman. Your thoughts on what you heard?
Well, first of all, you can always tell that Gary Bettman misses his radio show, because rather than have anybody else interview Wayne Gretzky on the stage, that was Gary. Remember when Gary used to have his own show for a while there? I think deep down, that's the job that he would like to have. When the whole commissioner gig ends, he probably wants a two-hour daily segment on one of those New York sports talk radio shows, because he's in his element. I think that's, everybody has sort of that dream job you have when you're an eight-year-old kid, and then, life sort of gets in the way sometimes for a lot of people. But I think that's what he wanted to be, a guy that talks sports for a living. So every opportunity he gets to do that, he does. And it's interesting, he's developed some of the mannerisms of the modern-day reporter. Some of the questions began with talk about, and I thought to myself, wow, he's really sort of falling into the lingo even. So it was a good event. I don't think there was anything announced that was remarkably surprising, other than the fact that they've confirmed that Wayne Gretzky will act as their ambassador for the centennial anniversary celebration. In fact, essentially, the centennial is going to play out over a calendar year, so 2017. So it will be the second half of this season and the first half of next season. And the main events are going to be concentrated in the first month in many ways. You'll have the outdoor game in Toronto, you'll have the Winter Classic, and the Los Angeles All-Star Game is going to be a really big deal, because that's when they are going to unveil the top 100 players of all time. And so they struck a committee this summer. I was lucky enough to be part of it. We voted for the top 100 players. We did not rank them. So they will announce the top 100. And I think they will do it first half of the century, second half of the century. I'm not clear on all the details about how they're going to unveil it. But that should be a good event. And the plan is to bring all the living members of that top 100 to Los Angeles. So it's going to be a really unique, special All-Star game this year. I think that's one that if you haven't been to an All-Star game, that might be the one that you want to get to.
Eric, does this start the I don't want to say healing process, because that's too strong of a phrase for it, but there's been obviously a disconnect between the NHL and their best player of all time, Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
The way that Phoenix kind of wrapped up was not cool. Is this a start of maybe trying to get Wayne back into the good books and use him as an ambassador, but maybe more?
It's a continuation of it, you know, Kelly, because it started really with the outdoor game in Los Angeles, and then that really was when the fences were mended. You know, I think that he has had, you know, a lot of back and forth with the commissioner since then, but it's true that when he appeared for the outdoor game in Los Angeles in advance of that Dodger Stadium game, you know, he came out to that, and that was his first official function since the dispute between him and the league over monies owed as a coach in Arizona had been resolved. And so, you know, that was 2 years ago. And the relationship has been good, absolutely cordial. But in terms of bringing him further into the mix, yes, this is another step in the process. One of the reasons that Wayne has been on the sidelines for as long as he has is partly because, you know, he and I have talked about this, you know, he still has two kids at home, and he's really enjoyed being a dad. And he, you know, he's like a full-time dad. I ran into him last time I saw him before today was in Indian Wells, and he was there with Janet and his daughter, who's a, you know, a young tennis player and has aspirations to be a, you know, top end junior. She had hit the day before with Jeannie Bouchard. Wayne was in the stands cheering for Jeannie, and then Milos Raonic. You know, he's heading to the Ryder Cup, where his son-in-law is competing for the American team. So he you know, he's doting over his you know grandchild. You know, so much of his life has been focused on looking inward rather than looking outward. So, you know, I think he's now at the point where he wants to take a more active role. But he could have done that before, because I think those fences have been mended now for a couple of years. It just didn't suit with what he was trying to do in his life, and you know that's. You know, I think everybody needs to do that too. You know, when your kids are a certain age, you never get those years back. And, you know, luckily for him, he has the financial wherewithal that he can, you know, travel with them where they were competing around the world. So I think he's enjoyed that part of his life. I think he's sort of ready for the next chapter, though.
Well, in that next chapter, the guy's smart. The guy's done it all. What do you think he can do for the NHL when you think about, you know, guys who are so recognizable in the States and growing the game, because that's all we ever hear about how they're going to grow the game in the United States. Yeah. You got to think he's the type of guy that can help them with that.
Yeah, and I wondered if he would want to take a more active role, because if you recall all of the stories that we did at the time that he was coach of the Arizona Phoenix Coyotes, I guess they were at the time, you know, it was partly, he would always tell you, you know, it was his mother-in-law, Janet's mom, that said, you know, Wayne, you got to get out and do stuff because you're bored. And so I think that was one of the reasons that he wanted the day-to-day job of coaching in the National Hockey League. Some people said, well, why would Wayne Gretzky want to take that on? You know, like being a coach, that's a hard job. You need to devote, you know, all kinds of hours to it. And it was just because, you know, the whole camaraderie of the dressing room, that's the part that he missed the most about the game. And he felt that if you couldn't play anymore, which, you know, you get to a certain age, you can't, the next closest job in the game is to be a coach, because you are on the ice with the players, you are on the bench with the players, and that's different than being a general manager, it's different than being a team president, it's different than being a team or league ambassador. Now, I would say, although I haven't asked him this, that at the stage of where he's at in his life, you know, we've all gotten a little bit older. I don't think that he would have the energy to do that anymore. So I don't think that any role that he takes in hockey, say, beyond 2017 is going to be as hands-on as the last one was when he was coaching Arizona. But I do think that, you know, some opportunities may present themselves. And a lot of people want to link him to Las Vegas, because he has a relationship with Bill Foley, the new owner there. And I think he's been really careful to say that, you know, he wants to keep that whole thing at arm's length. It's George McPhee that's going to run the team. They've hired the coaching staff. But it will be interesting once this year is over and the dust settles, and, you know, so where is he going to go next? I don't see him having anything more than a kind of an ambassador's role, just because of the point that he is at in his career. But I do think that there are lots of teams, especially in those markets where, you know, it might be a hard sell, or, you know, in the case of Vegas, where you're trying to get a foothold in the market, where he would be a very valuable asset.
Eric Dachik is our guest on the South Street Burger Guest Hotline on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Eric, did we learn anything more today? I know that this tournament isn't over, but learn anything more today about the future of the World Cup?
It came up, and in the formal press conference with Gary Bettman, I'm expecting him to come back in. He's doing a television interview right now, but he has been promised to us to do a more personal types of interviews. And I do want to ask him how you measure the success of an event like this. He was extolling its virtues, essentially said that the tournament has been a success, was deliberately vague, because the question specifically centered on will the current format continue. The fact that he did not answer that question or didn't even bother to try to address it tells me that, you know, everything that I've been writing the last little while, I think people have been saying on television too, is that they need to do a debrief when all is said and done. Because originally they weren't coming back with Team North America, they weren't coming back with Team Europe, and now, you know, that the tournament is playing its way out, you know, the North Americans were a fabulous success among viewers, and the European team is in the final with a chance to win the thing. So they may have to rethink that, but I don't think that they're prepared at this early stage of the game, while the tournament is still going on, to commit one way or another.
Tonight is the start of the best of three final between Team Europe and Team Canada. What are you expecting to see, and do you think this thing will be close at all? As a lot of people are predicting, Canada might win this thing in a hurry and win it in two games.
Well, I mean, the Europeans are a really good team, and, you know, Ralph Kruger, when he was coaching Switzerland in the past, has always given the Canadian team's fits because of the way that he coaches. You know, the teams played before a week ago Wednesday. It was hard to read anything into it because both had already qualified, so the level of commitment and intensity wasn't really there on either side. I think the Europeans are going to trap like mad. I think they're going to try and frustrate the Canadians. I think that works if you don't give up an early goal or two. The danger, of course, is that you fall behind a couple of goals early just because of the skill of the Canadians, and then you have to open up and they counter and away you go. So, you know, I mean, very difficult to predict. You know, I've seen Ralph Kruger coach teams, you know, if it's 0-0 after one period, if it's 1-1 after two, that's exactly what the Europeans want. Because even in the game that didn't mean anything, you saw the Europeans press a little bit, and they created some chances. So, you know, you need to be lucky. I think that they would agree with that, that, you know, if you can keep it close and scoreless or tied, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you get a break and, you know, you can win the game 1-0. You don't have to be the best team in a format like this to win, but you do have to pay strict attention to your systems and just, you know, bore everybody, if I can say it that way. And so I think, you know, the part of me that is the analyst says that, you know, the Canada will eventually wear them down, because that's what they did against the Russians. That game was close on the scoreboard. It wasn't close on the ice until the end of the second period. The Canadian team, I think, remarkably, the most remarkable thing about them is their poise. You know, sometimes, lots of times, when, you know, you're winning a game by lots and you're down 2-1 because a goalie has stood on his head, you know, you just lose control and everybody goes all lone wolf and you throw the game plan out and there's a level of panic, and suddenly now you end up losing those games. And that didn't happen. And so I think that the Canadian team is also really well coached, and they've got a whole bunch of guys that know how to win, and they know that a game lasts 60 minutes, and they've been really good at playing from buzzer to buzzer in this tournament. So, I mean, I guess that's a way of saying I think the Canadians are going to win tonight. I think they're going to win on Thursday, and I think the tournament will be over at that point. But, you know, the reason they play the games for a reason, and so let's tune in tonight and see what happens.
You know what? We'll have that over on 660 News. Before we let you go, you're back in your old stomping grounds. Final question, Eric. You got the Blue Jays doing their thing. You've got, I guess, the Toronto International Film Festival. You know, either it's wrapped up or doing its thing. And you've got the World Cup of Hockey. Now, you're obviously covering the hockey angle, but you've spent a long time in Toronto. What's the buzz? Like, what's going on? What are the people talking about? Not necessarily the media guys like us, but but just the people you talk to, old friends and stuff. What are they into right now?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a really good question, actually, Kelly, because the one thing, like, you know, I have, you know, nieces and nephews and lots of relatives, and I've been socializing a fair bit in the last little while, and there is an answer to that, and that is that, you know, the Toronto has just been beaten down for so long in so many different sports, and really become a laughingstock. You know, people talk about, you know, the Argos and the Argo Bounce, and how bad the Leafs have been for off and on for a long, long time. You know, and the Blue Jays had their moment in the 90s, but it's been a long time until last year. And so, there's just, yeah, there's a palpable level of excitement. You know, it started with the Raptors going on a great basketball playoff run. I think the Austin Matthews, and winning the draft lottery created another level of excitement. I think the fact that the Blue Jays are going to at least be a wild card team, it looks like, you know, teams are winning here, and in the case of the Leafs, they're finally showing promise in terms of, possibly turning the corner with a smart coach and a good general manager and a good president. And so people are excited about sports across the board, and in the past where it's just been a level of frustration and people get the paper bags over their head, that era seems to have passed. And it'll be interesting to see how the Leafs do, because I do think that, if you look at the pieces, they're not quite there yet. But if the goaltender is what they think he is, and they signed him to a 5-year contract, so obviously they think that he can be a number one goaltender. If he solidifies that position, some of those young players are going to be fun to watch. And I think in a couple of years, they're going to be a real good team.
Always interesting in that town how people kind of, they jump on certain bandwagons, but it's always hockey, right? That usually kind of rings true there, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, as successful as the Raptors were and all those people watching the game the hockey arena and the basketball and the baseball stadium are only a couple of blocks apart, so you can just sort of see all the fans streaming in, sellout after sellout after sellout. For all of that, when they finally do get the hockey team turned around, it's going to be berserk.
Yeah, for sure. Still don't want to live there, so I'm good. Okay, we'll talk to you on Thursday. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll see what shakes loose, and who knows what we're talking about on Thursday. You never know.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. Right,
there we go. Eric Dehatchek. He's a busy guy. He's got to go and interview Gary Bettman and Wayne Gretzky and stuff.
And he's got some writing to do.
He's got to he'll check him out on globeandmail.com. That'll be up probably by the time you get home from work today. All right, take a quick break here. Eric down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Enjoy flame-grilled burgers paired with local craft beer. Visit their new location, now open in East Hills, 17th Avenue Southeast and Stony Trail. The one and only Pat Steinberg, ready to go next. The big show live for the Comedy Cave. It's next from the Saddle Dome. It's Hockey Central at noon. Kelly Kirsch, Will Nault. Pat's next.
Back-to-back preseason games for your Calgary Flames. Going to Winnipeg tonight. Pre-game at 5, play-by-play at 6. Rogers Calgary Flames hockey is only right here on Sportsnet 960. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960 and on the Sportsnet app. Wills, Lubo, and Steinberg are your Flames radio crew. Rookies trying to make an impression. Vets proving they still got it. And the new guys trying to show they belong. Find out what happens tonight when the Flames and Jets hit the ice from the MTS Center. Flames and Jets on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.